mean, gun issues, talk about, we don't have to talk about politics the whole time. Trust me, we're going to get to fun stuff
okay,
here in a second.
Care.
But, but I did want to ask you about muster specifically, because we all have our issues, and I feel strongly like you do about so many different things. Guns are probably the thing I'm most passionate about. There's just no need for the gun craziness that we have in our culture today. It's so unnecessary. What caused you to write that one specifically, a specific incident or just a general feeling?
I was really spurred on by the, in Parkland, Florida, when that shooting happened, and the way that those kids responded to that and the organizing that they did around that was really the thing that was the catalyst for that song. Because, you know, I mean, so many shootings, so much loss of life, things that we don't even hear about, you know, constant domestic shootings and inner city violence, and just it's across, it's so much more than just mass killings, you know, the gun thing. So accidents at home, you know, with daddy's gun, all that. So there was that town, there was a town hall meeting after that shooting, and all the parents and kids kind of showed up, and some of the representatives, right? And I just was struck by the earnestness of that meeting, even in the face of like every single meeting everybody's had after every shooting that never gets anything done. They still showed up to try to get something to happen, right? And then the kids organized all those marches, and I was just, I was like, if this does not move people to like do something, what is, you know? That's really how I felt. But I also feel like, you know, I live in a community that's rural, and guns are kind of part of your life. You know, if I have a hurt deer on my property, I go to my neighbor's house and he comes and shoots it for me. You know, it's like, I mean, now I actually have my granddad's guns now, so I probably could do it myself, but it would be very hard because I'm such a softy,
right.
But I'm glad that there's somebody that can do it for me, you know? And I've learned a lot about not judging people, you know? And I also think that like, there are so many gun owners who want these laws, who want common sense laws.
Yeah.
And I do not know why it doesn't translate. I have no idea. I know the NRA is a strong lobby, but there is something else going on too, where even friends that I have that are very common sense about guns will not be outspoken about it because they're scared of the ramifications.
Oh.
And it's crazy to me because in where I live, in the community I live in, there's
You're in Georgia,
kids,
right?
Yeah, and there's kids that get shot because they accidentally were playing with their parents' gun.
Yeah.
There's, you know, domestic violence where somebody, the man shoots his wife. I mean, there's so many things that happen. There's people that shouldn't have guns that have them anyway. There's people that have arsenals, militias, you know, but the song is also about like, can't we have some common ground at all?
Yeah.
Like what everybody's so afraid of, like being cast as like anti-gun or pro-gun, you know, or one side or the other, that they won't give any. And I just was like, something's got to change.
I know.
You know,
I totally agree. Okay. We can move off politics. One of the motivators for this conversation was to talk about Nancy Griffith.
Mm.
I feel like in some ways, there were so many recent musical deaths, and Dusty Hill, Charlie Watts, Tom T. Hall, and hers got kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit. She's always been sort of a cult or a fringe artist anyway, but I know she means a lot to you. If someone who's listening is unfamiliar with Nancy, tell us what we need to know and why it matters.
Nancy was, first of all, a great songwriter,
mm-hmm.
and she had an ability to write the most innocent, sweet, well-crafted song that would have all these hidden gems of roughness and edginess in there, you know, and reality of life, the grittiness of life. Like she could write a song in her sweet voice that had something gritty in it. And it was that friction that made people intrigued by her, you know? So some of the great songwriters that hung out with her could not figure out what that is that happens with her, you know? It's like this person was so innocent in some ways and so sweet and golden, yet was touched by the darkness of life in a way, or the not, I don't even want to use that word dark, but the grittiness and the sadness of life and the reality and the graphicness of life in a way that is so deep, and it comes through in her songs.
Yeah.
But you have to be patient, you know, and listen to them and
That's
listen to the record.
Said. Yes.
Yeah. And I just, I mean, and she gave us a lot of, you know, a lot of lifting up and a lot of sweet comfort and encouragement when we were very young and green, you know, and gave us respect, even though, oh my God, I'm sure we were like a pain to be around because we were so, I know I was, because I was so full of myself and so like, just, you know, cool or whatever. And Nancy, just those people in the early days, like her that put up with us, I'm always like so thankful for them, you know, but we got to be on that one record Flyer that was such a incredible record. Cause when I look back on it, I'm like, oh my God, Peter Buck and like, yeah. Peter Collins and I mean, who was it? Dire Straits. What's
Mark
his face?
Knopfler.
Mark Knopfler played. Like, yeah. Everyone played on that record. Yeah. It's like insane.
Isn't that
wild? I look at the credits sometimes, and I'm like, after she died, I was like looking at that record and like looking at the credits, and I was like, oh my God, because someone sent me a link also to that Austin City Limits that
I was
saying,
just watching that. Yes.
Yeah, and I don't even like when they sent the link, I was like, God, I don't even remember this. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this.